Hello and welcome to the Faith and Football Podcast, where we discuss the intersection of our faith and the game of soccer. Tune in for insightful discussions and inspiring stories where the beautiful game meets spiritual reflection.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Faith and Football. This is Rusty Bryant, and I'm here with my co-host, Logan Bryant.
What's up?
We have got an incredible, we've got a great show for you today, because we have one of our all-time favorite Bria players, Lucas Paulini, is going to be joining us. So first of all, hey, welcome, Lucas. We are so thankful that you have chosen to take some time to join us today.
No, thank you guys. Excited. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so you probably noticed the accent, a little bit different from the southern redneck Mississippi accents that the hosts have. But Lucas is from Argentina, and so we're going to let him tell a little bit about just his soccer journey in a minute, but we got to know Lucas because he came and played for us way back in 2009, 2010, and I'm going to be honest, the team in 2010 was probably the greatest Mississippi Bria team ever put together. It was ridiculous how good we were, and Lucas was a huge part of that. But this is the little story I have to tell here at the beginning. So we don't have favorites, but we do have favorites, and there are definitely players that leave here that just leave a lasting impression on our family. And so Lucas is one of those, and even to this degree. So Lucas goes back to Argentina to visit his family, and he sent a jersey to Luke. So yes. My oldest son and Logan's older brother had got an authentic Argentina jersey, and we actually got Lucas put on the back as the name, and then Luke, as a little kid, went as Lucas Paulini trick-or-treating. Yep. You were his Halloween costume. You've probably seen that picture before, but that just goes to show the impact. I mean, how cool was that?
I remember thinking for the longest time that he played on the national team because I was so young. I was like, what, 4 or 5 when Lucas was here? There's an iconic picture of Lucas holding me at the pool. I remember that picture. And
I remember that picture too.
It's crazy just the impact that you've had, and we still talk about you to this day, and obviously kept in touch.
Yeah, so. And then for Luke to have actually been him for Halloween.
That's impressive. And then
now Luke has been competing against Lucas because Lucas has had to coach against him for the last 4 years in the Atlantic 10. So, yeah. But it's crazy how it all comes full circle like that. But Lucas, we're gonna let you just kind of tell your soccer journey a little bit so that the people will know. But he's currently up in Virginia at VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University. It's a great school, great soccer program, and I've had the privilege of watching them the last few years because Luke has played against them. Luke being over at Davidson, and it's just been fun. It's been fun to catch up. We actually got to go to Richmond.
Yep. That was really cool.
And see Lucas just a few weeks ago, so that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, so Lucas, we're just going to get started here, and we, like Rusty has said, well, my dad, I don't really know what to call him yet. Like he said, just walk us through your soccer journey, just being in Argentina, how you got to the States. Just walk us through that.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Again, all these stories are true, and it's a good reminder of you know, the fun that we had and how the life came full circle. You know, it's still fun to see you guys around, and I'm sure life is full of adventures. I'm sure I'll see you guys around soon too. You know, I think my soccer journey is a little bit different than most in the way that I come from a different country. So being from Argentina, I mean, soccer is all we do. It's from the minute you are born to, you know, all throughout. Everything is about soccer, whether you're playing soccer, you're watching soccer, you're dreaming about soccer, you're talking to your friends about soccer. And when you do schools and when you do projects in school, you do projects about soccer. And that's all you do and all you know.
I love it.
That's awesome. That's
to the extent of, you know, when you're having dinner, if you're watching TV, you're watching a game or you're watching something related to soccer. So I couldn't tell you when I started playing soccer, probably around 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. But what I do remember is that once I started playing, I knew that that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, you know. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about it like that, like as a job. I always felt like, okay, I'm gonna play and I'm gonna have fun with my friends. And you know, once you start to, you know, do it a little more and you start to do a little better, you start to think about, oh man, this is something that I could do for more than just a few years. And you know, it just grew on me so much. And I knew that as soon as I hit the first ball with my foot, that this is something that would that would carry with me forever. You know, so when I was 17, I was training with different teams in Argentina, but back home it's difficult to study and play soccer. So when I got to the age of 14 or 15, I had to make a choice, and I was going to school morning and afternoon. So I was going to a German school. So it was very difficult to get out of school to go training. Everybody trained at that time, 3 p.m., 2 p.m. So I would have had to skip school every day. And that's something that my parents were not a big fan of. So they gave me one more chance. They said, well, if you make it at this club, it was one of the biggest clubs in Argentina. And I went through all the tryouts. I got to a point where, well, this is the last tryout. If you do well, you know, we'll bring you in and, you know, you're part of the team. And that would have meant for me to skip school and all the education that I've, you know, I've had for like the, you know, 10 years of my life, knowing, learning German and learning English and Spanish and all these different things, to something half day that is not very serious. And my parents were hoping that I didn't make it, and I didn't make it. So when I got to 14, I was like, well, what do I do now? You know, and started to play a little more tennis, and I kept playing soccer, but it wasn't the same. And when I got to 17, I was like, well, man, I really miss playing. You know, I'm wondering what else is out there that I can do. And the possibility of coming to the U.S. came along when I was 17. And as soon as I saw what it was like to play here in the U.S., with the combination of a degree, my parents were all in. So it was just a matter of finding the right school, the right fit. And that's how I came in contact with one of my coaches that brought me over. You know, and that led to 4 years in college, including 2 summers in Mississippi. And then from then, I was able to play pro for a few years. And you know, everybody's got to end to the playing part of soccer.
That's,
you know?
Right.
You know, for some, it comes to 27, 35, or 22, or you know, even after high school for some, and that's okay. I just, you know, when I was coming towards the end, I knew that I wanted to stay close to the game. So coaching was the best way for me to stay close to the game.
Awesome.
I started to coach a little bit, going through it, some injuries and some stuff, and once I started coaching, it was the best way to stay close to the game. And now that I'm coaching, I've been coaching for a while, I know that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So my life will be all about soccer, you know, from when I was born to my last few days, it will be all about the game.
That, man, that's awesome. And like, you know, you were just kind of one of those that when you came through here, we sort of knew, yeah, you're probably going to have some pro years ahead of you. And then like, you just knew the game so well. It's like having a coach on the field. And I mean, you and Mike Azira out there together, and you know, it was like, man, there's some vast knowledge of the game out there. So it's not surprising at all that you have become a very successful coach. Now, you mentioned college, and I know you actually went to a couple of different schools. So tell our listeners just kind of your college journey, where you were, and then the teams that you played professionally with after that.
Yeah, so it's funny because when I first came over, I could barely speak any English. So it was difficult for me to find schools that would take me, to be honest. So I even had to come with my dad and a friend to try out for different Division II schools because my grades were not very good. My English was not very good. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really into school anyway. I liked it, but I didn't like it as much as soccer. So my way of thinking was, how can I have soccer in my life and, you know, kind of please my parents a little bit. And it turns out that it's more than just that, right? So when I came over for tryouts, I was at a tryout for a Division III in Georgia. And then a friend of a friend recommended this Division II school in Tennessee called University, well, Tusculum College at that time. Mm-hmm. Now it's called Tusculum University. But it's a Division II school in East Tennessee in the middle of almost nowhere. I mean, there's nothing really around. So it's coming from a city that lived in the middle of Buenos Aires. It's got, you know, somewhere along the lines of, almost 18 million people. So you go from that to a city with just a couple, just a couple thousand, and it wasn't very big. So it was very different, right? The adjustment took a little bit of time. The English took a little bit of time, but I was able to come with my friend that we both tried out for that team. Coach Teach actually is the one who brought me over. So that was my first 3 years there. In between, so after the first year, the first summer, I went home, and I was talking to some of my friends. I was like, man, there's this league in the summer that is pretty good. You play at a high level, you stay within the game. Like, if you really don't want to go home, you know, I'm sure you can find a team. So the second summer, I was still at Tennessee, at the school, Division II in Tennessee. That's when my assistant coach at the time at the school was Todd Eason, and he's the one who said, I'm going to work in the summer with Mississippi Brea. And I was like, I don't know where Mississippi is, but sounds good to me. So we went over and actually took, I want to say three players from our team or more, four. That first year, and I actually knew a couple of my teammates already because we've played against them in different games, and it's just an awesome experience, right? That's why as soon as I had the opportunity to go back in my second year, there was no question in my mind where I was going to go. Hmm. And then after those two summers, I transferred to VCU to play my last year. Mm-hmm. So I played my senior year, and then I was able to then sign in January, I think. So I had a few classes left. That I was able to complete, a few years later after I played. But that's kind of like my college experience. You know, once I finished, I was able to play for Atlanta Silverbacks. Back in the day, they were in the NASL. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I played there four or five years. And then when I returned to VCU to finish my degree, to do the last like nine or 10 classes, I was also working for the team in some capacity, kind of as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. And then I stopped playing for a year, and then I was itching to play again. I would go pick up, and because I love the game so much, yeah. I would go play pick up with the guys that were playing for Richmond Kickers, and all of a sudden, some of them started saying, hey, do you want to try to play one more year? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. And I did it, and I loved it, but I realized that my clock was probably done at that time. Injuries. Yeah, I was getting old. I wasn't, my mind was good, but my feet and my legs weren't good anymore. So that was an easy decision after that. Yeah. So that's kind of the college and the pro career. Yeah. It wasn't as long as I probably should have or could have. I left a lot of things on the table when I was younger, and a lot of things that I could have done better to take care of my body and to be more into it. But like I said, for me, it was all about the fun that I had with the ball and with my friends that I never took like a job. And I think if I can go back and do it again, if this is something that I wanted to do for longer, those are probably things that I probably need to do more often, take more better care of myself, you know?
Well, that's every player's dream is just to have a shot. And you made the most of it. And I think that's so cool. And one of the things that's so neat just about a lot of people, I mean, there'll be people that listen to this that I know don't know a whole lot about Mississippi Brea. They're listening to it more because of the connection that we're trying to make between faith and the game that we love. But the footprint of Brea has grown to be so big. One of the cool stories about you being over with the Atlanta Silverbacks is you played with one of your teammates from Mississippi because Willie Hunt was there. And and then crazy how this part of it happened too. But our coach 2 years ago was Matt Horth. And Matt played with you as well. And we didn't know Matt at all until he came down here as our coach. And so it's just cool how to see the different people that that have touched Brea through the years and we've touched through the years. And I just think that's so cool.
That's right. Like it's crazy to look at the path that all of the people that have come through Brea have taken and just the impact that they have made here in Mississippi with us and as they go on to their different colleges, their professional careers, like even with you going to a couple of different teams and just now at VCU and just keep staying involved in the game. And that's just incredible to see. And so we love that. But hey, Lucas, yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your faith journey? You grew up in Argentina, obviously, and we don't really know what that looks like, how faith is encouraged there. Did you come to faith as a young kid or in college? Tell us a little bit about that.
So yeah, so obviously in Argentina, I think the numbers say something along 70% of the population are Christian. So it's very involved in faith. I think it's evolved a little bit in the last few years, but I mean, from where I remember growing up, faith was a big part of the game, was a big part of sports, was a big part of my school, was a big part of my family home. It's always been like that, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, so living through that and playing through that was always big. I don't know. I can remember very, very, very young, and you know, families and friends that took faith to a level where I probably wasn't used to. A home it was more about, you know, do the right things, you know, look after each other. And as slowly as you start to grow up a little more, maybe they start to give you more information about, you know, the different walks of life of people and different ways that they see the world. And, you know, those things have always encouraged me to kind of find my own path, you know, and kind of what is it that it means to me, that it might be a little bit different to what it means to other people. Mm-hmm. I still remember when I was young, you know, in Argentina, it's very common to step on the field, to step on your right foot three times and then do the sign of cross, for example, you know. Even when I was, you know, 7 or 8, I started doing that. And my mom was like, she would never say you can't do it or you should do it. She was more like, why you do that? You know, and I said, well, I watched on TV, all the best players do it.
Yeah.
I said, well, you should probably think about why you do it and what that means to you. And
that's cool.
I like that approach. I thought it was always an approach that helped me maybe go and read and ask people and sort of find more ways to be involved in that way, you know, and not just do it because other people do it or to do it just because you say. You know, another great story that when I was 14 or 15, I was going through confirmation classes. So at 15, we had to get confirmed. And I don't know if you guys do it here. I'm sure you do.
We're familiar with that.
So it was funny because the classes was, I think, twice a month. It was one on, one off. And obviously, it was on Saturday mornings, right when my games were. All the games were Saturday mornings. So you had to attend all the sessions to be able to get confirmed. And so my mom, you know, before we even started, my mom was like, well, you're going to have to miss some games because this is what you have to do. And this is what I think you should do. And I was like, man, I really want to play. I want to miss my senior or my, I can't remember what year I was in, but I don't want to miss my games. And so she said, well, I'm sorry, but you should be thankful for everything you have. The best way to do it is to go and attend and think about, you know, your actions. So I used to go, but one of the times I decided it was best when, because I was so mad that I was missing my game, she dropped me off and she waited for me to come out. And I thought it was a good idea to just, with my friends, jump over the fence, go hang out during the morning, skip the church, and then come back before it was over so she would think that I was part of the session the whole time. And I don't know how she knew, but, you know, we're like, parents know all that stuff. And she didn't see me, but she knew. So as soon as walked in the car, she said, you know, like I said, she's my mom. And they were never going to go tell me, you can't do this or you cannot do that. They would just ask me questions. The first thing she said is, well, how did it go today? And I just had to, you know, basically lie about how the session went today.
Yeah.
You know, sing songs and read the Bible and talk about Jesus. And she could tell that I was lying. So I said, well, no, I'm actually just didn't go. And I said, well, this is, and she just taught me a lesson. And she just said, you know, these are things that, if you're not important to you, then you need to understand why. But you have a lot to be thankful for and a lot of things that happen in your life because of someone else or because people before you. And, you know, it was very touching for me. And then from then on, obviously, I've never missed a session anymore. I didn't realize that, you know, the games are the games and the games will always be there. That, you know, the time with the people that I was going through that class was more important at that time. So just different things that through my life when I was younger and the way I was brought up, it taught me a lot. And it's put like a direction in what I believe in and how I do things. And not just on the field, but off the field especially too.
Man, that's a great story, by the way. But I will never forget. Yeah.
I will never forget.
Well, and that's, you know, good parents, they know how to handle those situations. Sounds like your mom was just perfect in that situation. And, you know, just to you know, she knew, but just teaching you in that moment, you know, and I don't know, we, Logan and I were both just laughing because we were like, man, what? I mean, every little kid soccer player wants to do the exact same thing that did, you know?
Wants to be able to tell that story, and not many can.
But just the fact that it made such a huge impression on you, and I just love it. And I love how, you know, faith was a part of your life at such an early age. But then, you know, for you to say, well, there were some things that I guess were faith-related that I was just doing because I saw everybody else doing. But then, I mean, all of this to me, I kept hearing you say, but my mom, you know, but my mom, but my mom, and loving just how your mom would kind of guide you and direct you and say, yeah, but you got to come to your, you know, figure out your faith on your own and not just because of what other people are doing out on the soccer field or off the field. And so, I don't know, it's just, that was great.
Exactly. I think the approach is what makes it right. Because I think if she would have said something along the lines of, oh, you can't go to your soccer anymore, if she would have punished me for doing that, I think would have been actually more resistant to it, you know, and I wouldn't have done it then with the pleasure that I did, because once you realize how important it was to me and how thankful I should have been for all the things that I had in my life at that time, then, you know, it's just the approach was different. And I think, I mean, the faith part really continued on with me. Obviously, Bria was a big part of it too. Just the way we approach the everyday, the way that we got together before training sessions, before games, what we did, you know, and soccer in the streets, and what we did with the different programs, what we did at camp, how we came together to go to church. I mean, all those things are things that stay with you forever.
I love it.
I was lucky enough to work for a school that was, It was called Houston Baptist University, high school, Houston Christian. You know, so faith was also a big part of the team, and you know, we recruited kids that were part of you know, something bigger than themselves.
That's right.
And I think when you have something so central that is bigger than just the game itself, it just gives you another reason to fight for and another way to bring people together. You know, not just not just through the ball, but through more than that. And you know, it's good to see every now and then a night in the road. Like, I know that, you know, some of our parents would do Bible study and they wouldn't tell us, but they would stay up until 3 doing Bible study. And I thought that was very cool because at the end of the day, this is what the game does too, right? It's just like the Bible, just like Jesus, just brings people together, you know, and it's continued that way for me too. And it's been cool. So that's faith awesome. It's been always a part of my life. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, you just talking about how it's always been a part of your life is really cool, because I've experienced that, like, intersecting the two has been a part of my life just since I was born. Like, with the team, the Bria team started when I was like 1, 2. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I've always known that that's what you're supposed to do, is use whatever God has given you to be a light to the people and promote, like, promote him and what he's done for you just through the game. And so I love how you were hitting on those points, and then eventually you started talking about Bria and just what it did for you. And so talk a little bit more about how it developed you, not only as a player physically, but spiritually, and just how camps and things like that were just able to propel your faith forward.
100%. And I was, when you were going through it and you were talking about, I'm sure, when we first got to Bria, I think it was very telling what this meant to people like Rusty, to people like Scott, to people like around the Bria organization. When I first got there, they talk about how Bria started, you know, and I think that's something that I still remember to this day, and what it did to people. I know if you, Logan, and Rusty, you still have the chance to go back to Costa Rica every now and then and work with people and, you know, do all the good things and all the good work that you guys do down there. For me, what it did when I was there, you're just learning the story about Bria, you know, puts everything into perspective. And, you know, the game is for me a central piece in my life, but it's also through the game that you get to do it for other people. You get to help people. You get to encourage people to be the best they can be and in many areas, right? So for me, what it did is, you know, working camp, I remember seeing Todd and how good he was with kids. And I mean, same with Dave. Dave was the same way. They were amazing with kids. And it made me understand that, you know, just putting smiles on kids' faces every day and doing that for, you know, 5-6 hours a day through different camps, it just helped me understand that there's more than just that. And to be honest, it started kind of like thinking, okay, this is something that I you know, I want to do. I want to be able to help people. And one of the phrases, and I never tell you this, Rusty, and I think I never have, but you know, one of the phrases that really stuck with me that has come across, I can't remember the first or the second year, but you guys always said that you might not be the person who touches hundreds of people. You might be the person who touches one, who then touches hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might not be as impactful as you wanted to be. I might have not been, you know, the person, maybe a pro soccer player that is known all around the world that is able to propel Jesus and what the teachings are, but you might be able to touch a few people who then can spread the word a different way, you know. And that phrase stuck with me, and it just, I use it for many other things too, you know. And it, awesome. You know, it just helps you. You just try to do the right thing every time, and you might come across people that are able to have more of an impact than you have, and that's okay. It's just a matter of having an impact with someone, you know. If you are able to change someone's life, that's for me already worth it, you know. And coaching is big. That's a big piece in coaching.
Yeah,
you know, this is why I love the college game, because you're still at a level where the impact that you have in young men is still so big,
yep.
that it changes lives forever, you know. And I enjoy coaching. I probably enjoy coaching in the pros, and I probably enjoy coaching at other ages, but I think the college level is a middle point where, like, the level is good enough where you enjoy it, you like it, but it's also still so fresh in some young people that you can change lives forever. And you get people from all over the world, you know. You get people from different walks of life, you get different people with different cultures, and I think that's what the world should look like, you know. The world should look like that, like the way we do it at VCU, where we got people from all different walks of life, different countries, different beliefs. And you know, and a ball is bringing them all together into VCU, which is crazy to think about. You know, so that's what just working camp helped me a lot understand that, and enjoy the game too, right? I think the second piece is, this is not, I mean, it's my job and I love it, but I wake up very happy to do what I do. And, you know, I still remember, you know, seeing those kids' little faces, smiles in the morning when it was hot in the summer in Mississippi. So they loved it. They had nothing. You know, he was so hot. not as hot as Houston. I was in Houston for a few years, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. About the same. Yeah.
Man, that's just incredible. Yeah. Just the way that we were able to, or Bria as an organization was just able to show you kind of that you wanted to work with kids and just put the smile on their face and encourage them through what you do. And I just thought it was so incredible that you were like, man, I can use this as my platform to be a light to others around me. And I've heard this quote a bunch, and I love that you brought it up, where it's like you may only touch one person, but they can go and touch hundreds. And and it's that like little seed that is planted. And what you do as a college coach, and just from all growing up, hearing your story, it seems like you have touched people, and maybe it's one or two here and there, but I can guarantee that they have gone and touched other people, and that's just incredible, and you should be very proud of that. And I just love it. That was perfect. You
was great.
You nailed it. It was awesome. Lucas, we're kind of coming to the time where we need to wrap up, so I just want to move off of the subjects that we have done and just ask you a little lighthearted question. We need to know who your favorite Premier League team is. Do you have one?
I follow the Premier League, but not as much as I probably should as a coach, to be honest. I watch all my teams.
That's kind of how we are.
I like the I like the teams that like to play with the ball, to be honest. So any team that has got, you know, obviously I almost follow more coaches than teams, to be honest. And I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but for example, I really like right now, obviously I'd always like Pep, Brighton, you know, Liverpool at times, but
yeah.
I like teams that like to play with the ball, and I like teams that have Argentinian players. So just because I want them to do well, I tend to follow them a little bit more.
Yeah.
So those would be always my
So let me. Oh, go ahead.
I have something. What's it like having a World Cup title? To like a recent one.
Man, I still can't believe. I don't. You gotta be careful making me talk about this because I get emotional still. Just watching, like yesterday, no, 2-3 days ago, I think it was 1 year since we won it.
Yep.
I'm still going through some of the clips and unseen clips and videos. Now a movie came out that it's been showing at the movies in Argentina. I can't wait to watch it. I'm sure many more things going to come out here soon with different Netflix shows and things. And it's just, I can't have enough of it. You know, it's like,
that's awesome.
We've been waiting for so long, and it's been, just by far, I don't know. It's just difficult to explain for someone who grew up learning all the names for your national team. There's something Argentinos, they, I don't know. It's weird. We're strange people. You know, I think we're a little bit, we believe too much in ourselves to not say that we're a little bit cocky, which is, could be very true. But there's something, and there's a time in when we come together, that's the World Cup. And nothing else is going around it when the World Cup's going on. And some of the videos you see and some of the things, I mean, something like 8 million people, I think, went out in Buenos Aires to celebrate. 8 million people. They can't, I mean, it's just...
That's crazy.
One that's insane. That's so cool.
And it's just like 8 million out of 40, you know, it's a lot. So it just means a lot. It's really, it's, we'll be celebrating for a while.
Well, we are huge. We're actually Argentina fans too.
Pretty much.
And, I mean, and even really, I mean, we've always pulled for Argentina. And honestly, I think that some of that is because you were here 12 years ago, 13 Probably. Years yep. ago. And when players come here to Brea and they're passionate about their country, we tend to follow those teams. And so we've just kind of continued following. And then of course we're huge Messi fans. And so, obviously. I mean, this was like from day one. I mean, we were pulling for Argentina in this World Cup, so it was incredible. Yeah. I mean, we nowhere near the emotions that you felt, but
I'm
we loved it.
I'm pretty sure me and Luke cried though.
I think we all did, and
we all teared up.
And I remember, I mean, I texted you. I mean, I've got a few, you know, Argentina friends that I still kind of keep in touch with, and I remember texting you right after. And I did the same with some of my other Argentina friends, Douglas Oliveira, who's at Liberty. He was our assistant coach for a year, and so he's Brazil. He's Brazil.
Yeah, he's from Brazil,
Yeah, he's from Brazil. But I was texting with him and Lucas whenever Brazil were playing, Lucas Almeida. But as soon as Argentina won, I remember reaching out and just saying congrats to you. And but it's awesome. I'm so glad you got to experience that. Yeah. And man, Lucas, we are so grateful for your time, and this was so much fun. It was great to go back and relive some memories that you were a part of over the last 12 years ago, but then here we are, you know, still in touch today. And I know we get to chat every now and then about players and even run into each other when we get to see you. And so just, man, we're proud of you and just really excited that we were a small part of your soccer journey, and we can't wait to see what you continue doing in the future. So really appreciate you being here with us today. Hey guys, we're gonna sign off from Faith in Football, and we'll be back with you again shortly with another great story and another great interview from somebody that's making an impact in the world through the game of soccer and using their faith. So until next time, we'll see you.